John. See, all the furniture in this church is so heavy. It's a two-man operation. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We just love on you. We love on you. We love on you tonight. All my love, Lord. All of our love, Lord. It was so fitting that that prophetic word came, you know, that brother brought, you know. The Lord really wants us to know here tonight, we don't need to be afraid. If we ask our Father for bread, he will not give us a stone. You know, and it's like, well, oh, what happens if this stuff is so weird, and Curtis, you're a little bit scary. What happens if, you know, what happens if this isn't him? Come on, folks. How many of you are asking Daddy for bread tonight? Yeah. We're asking him for bread. What do you mean bread? What if I don't want to eat bread? What if I want a sausage, you know? What is God saying with all that? What is he meaning by all that? What he's meaning is, if we ask him to feed us, like a child asks a parent for food, mommy, daddy, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, right? That parent is not going to give him a stone. The parent is going to give him exactly what they need. Amen. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Yeah? What do you need from God tonight? Listen, listen. One thing I've discovered about Jesus is that he only feeds the hungry. Well, you know, I went to that meeting and nothing happened to me. Well, that's because your face looked like that. That's why. That's because your attitude was in the wrong place. God only feeds the hungry. Are you hearing me? And I want to tell you, the Lord wants to work miracles, and he wants to heal people's bodies tonight. He wants to set people free tonight. He really does. That's why he brought us here. He really does. But you know, God can't do it if we don't want it. So you know what? Lord, we throw off all of the stuff that hinders us from receiving what you want for us. What's the stuff? What's going to hinder God from doing what he wants to do? You know, there's places in the New Testament that I've seen in the Gospels where Jesus himself, the big man himself, would go up to places, and the Bible says that he could hardly do anything because there was so much unbelief. That stuns me when I read that. I thought God could do anything he wanted to at any time. He could hardly do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. Wow. Well, Lord, we want to tell you, not here tonight. Right? Come on now. Not here tonight. Lord, tonight you have found a room full of people that are trusting you. All right. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to read some stuff off out of the Word of God to you tonight. And I'm going to repeat myself from last night. How many of you were here last night? Oh, my goodness. How many of you got healed last night, got touched last night? Thank you, Lord. Well, a couple of you shared this morning. But you know what's so cool? What is so amazing to me is when somebody says something hurts and then we pray for them and then they say it doesn't hurt anymore. Whoa! That's incredible. I love that. You know, as I said this morning, do you know what, folks? This stuff does more for me than it does for you. You know, that's great. You know, your leg's fine. You know, your back's feeling good. But I'm feeling even better. I'm just so proud of Jesus. I just get so cranked when I see him do stuff like that. Whoa. How many of you tonight, now be honest with me, because, you know, you're kind of looking at me like, you know, you're a baby calf at a new gate here. How many of you tonight have pain in your body? Put your hand up for me. Be honest with me. Okay, we're going to pray for you tonight. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? I have a scripture verse that I wrote in the Bible. Do you want to hear it? It goes like this. Blessed is the man or woman who does not really think they're going to get anything from God because they'll get exactly what they expect. He feeds the hungry. There's only one thing that turns God on. There's only one thing that makes him happy. This was such a major revelation to me. Changed my life, you know. When I realized there's only one thing that makes God happy, and that's faith. What's faith? Well, faith is it's trust. Oh, Jesus. He just wants us to believe him. And there are some of us here tonight, you got to figure everything out. And that's why you can't receive anything from him. Because you can't do that. You just have to trust him. You've just got to believe. Whoa. There are some of us here tonight, oh, the slightest little thing that happens, we get knocked off the course. The Lord is saying to you, just believe me, and you will see my glory. Just believe me, and you will see the things that you're crying out for. Just believe me. I said it last night. Church, listen to me. We do not have an option whether to believe or not to believe the promises of God. How many of you, be honest with me tonight, because I'm going to be honest with you. I have been honest with you. How many of you have trusted and believed God for things and never got them? Come on now, you're acting Scandinavian on me with one arm up. Put it up, go like this. Okay, let's be American here tonight. By the way, I'm not American, okay? I'm Canadian. Do not make that mistake. But we trusted God and we believed God and we've had faith and, you know, like we've looked ourselves in the mirror and we said, yes, God, it's going to happen, and it hasn't happened. Got to share a story with you. Oh, that's happened to me so many times I could write a very thick book about it. What do we do with those things? The birth of our second child. We have three children. And my wife is pregnant. And man, I tell you what, people came out of the woodwork to give us prophecies about this child. Prophecies about how great this child is going to be. She was about, I think she was like 6 weeks at the time. 6 weeks pregnant. Oh, God's going to do this with this baby and that with this baby. We always trust the Lord for words over our children. Yeah. We were in faith. And then one morning, my wife started bleeding. And I said, forget that. Trust you, God. Because you spoke words over this child. Of all these great things that this child is going to do, the bleeding didn't stop. And she miscarried the child. What do you do when you're trusting the promises of God? He said that he'd heal. And all of a sudden, it just didn't stop and the child was miscarried. And I'll never forget the look on my wife's face. It was absolute confusion. And I was so angry with God. How many of you have been there? I was so angry with God. How can you do this, God? When you said such and such and such and such and such and such. And some of us in this place, the Spirit of God is touching some of you right now. He's ministering healing to you right now. Just receive it. Listen. We've trusted God, some of us. We stood on God's word, and it hasn't happened. And we can't get our heads around it. It just didn't happen. I was so angry with God. I said, how dare you, God? And I sought God for answers. Well, maybe our faith wasn't the way it was. And I said, forget that. I know my faith was strong. Well, maybe my wife wasn't in faith. No, that's nonsense. She's got stronger faith than I do. Well, maybe she didn't eat. Oh, all of these things, all of these things, all of these things. I could not justify or, you know, I couldn't. It just didn't happen. I was so angry with God. How can I pray for people who have sick children? How can I pray for women who are about to abort their babies or about to miscarry their babies? How can I do that now? Doubt starts entering in. But listen. Here's the answer to all of that. Here's the answer. There is no answer. Could it have been faith? Could it have, could it, could it, could have, should have, would have? There is no answer to that. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me very clearly now. I have seen God minister his healing power to so many people, so many children. Folks, I tell you, I've seen people's legs grow. I have seen God's healing power through my hands too many times. The reality is this. The promises of God are yes and amen every single time in Christ Jesus. But Curtis, it didn't happen. I know it didn't happen. But the option is not there for me not to believe what God says he's going to do. The option is not there for you to disbelieve what God says. It's not there for us. Church. It's not there for us. And as I said before, you know what we begin to do? We begin in our minds, because you know the mind is the heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? What we begin to do is we begin to formulate these structures in our hearts and minds, these places of doubt that we grow comfortable with. And we say, yes, we'll believe God, we'll lift our hands and worship him and all of that stuff. But you know what? Really, he failed me in this area. So I really can't trust him here. And what happens? The train goes off the railroad and you don't even, off the tracks, and you don't even know it. We don't have that option, church. Why are you saying that, Curtis? Because if we don't trust him, faith pleases God. Hebrews tells us that there were multitudes of people that walked by faith and they died in faith, not receiving the promise. Did you hear that? They walked. You know, another definition of faith is a roadway. They walked the road. They walked the walk of faith, believing and believing and believing and believing and believing. And whoa, they died not having received what they were believing for. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Church, listen to me now. We are going to believe God right to the very end. I am going to believe God for his healing power to touch the nations as long as I live. And it matters not to me what anybody else thinks or what anybody else believes. I am going to believe God for his goodness. Because you know what? I've been there just like you. Folks, there's been periods in my life over these last 6-7 years where I've been without faith. Not denying Jesus, but I mean really, really rough places. And the only thing that I've hung on to, let me be honest with you, I didn't hang on to anything. But I knew that God was hanging on to me. The Bible says when we are without faith, he remains faithful because he will not disown himself. And he hangs on to us until faith comes back again. But church, let me tell you, we don't have the option whether or not to believe or disbelieve the promises of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible with you, to Hebrews chapter 11. Thanks, man. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to march through this a little bit, have some fun with it. Faith pleases him. Now faith, in verse 1 of chapter 11, the writer says, I think it was Paul. You could disagree with me if you want to, but I have the microphone, so. Lord, we give you thanks in this place. Oh God, we ask you to raise our level of faith tonight. That we could reach out to you, Lord God, and receive our healing. Receive our miracle. Receive the restoration of our soul in the name of Jesus. I believe tonight the Lord wants to restore many of us. Just restore, bring back again that vibrancy that we once had. Amen. Give us some of that, Jesus. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near. He said don't go looking over here and looking over there. Because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is right here. He says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, know the kingdom of God has come near you. Folks, the kingdom of God is here tonight. When God breaks out among us, when he works in miracles, when he ministers healing, when he ministers his love and his grace, and he fills us with the Spirit, that's a manifestation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right standing with God. Peace. What is peace? Peace is a force. Whoa! That comes from the Spirit of God and steadies your soul. Peace is something that you feel is tangible. Jesus says when you go to a house, if that house is worthy, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. It's like he's talking about peace as if it's a person that kind of leaves you and wanders around the house and, you know, peace is a tangible force of God. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we wonder sometimes, all this stuff. People are always laughing. It's a manifestation of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, whenever you see the breaking out of a kingdom, you always see celebration. Why is it in the human being loves to party? Because God loves to party. Where do you think you got it from? Why do we love to celebrate? Why do we love to feel good? Because that's what God's like. That's his nature. That's what he's like. No, God wants us to suck on sour lemons. Well, all lemons are sour. God wants us to look like, you know, we're not having any fun. Oh, for goodness sakes, who wants to serve a God like that? You know, we talk about the Muslim people. We talk about them and, oh, well, you know, they have to bow down and say, oh, their God is so hard. You know what? Half the churches that we have in this country and in the West, that God is just as hard. I sometimes wonder, like, who are we serving here? No, the kingdom of God is righteousness. God wants me to know that you have right standing with him. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're questioning whether or not you have right standing with God, I want you to know something. You can have right standing with God. Not based on anything that you've done or not done, but simply because of your faith. Simply because you put your faith, your trust in what Jesus did on the cross. That's what righteousness is. Boy, I tell you what. You know, John, if if I really grasp that every day of my life, you'd walk around with a smile on your face. I've got right standing with God. And when we come together in church on Sunday, we'd all be smiling instead of getting ticked off and upset with each other. We have right standing with God. Oh, Father, that's amazing. Isn't it? Come on, folks. Right standing with God, what can be better than that? No matter where I go, no matter what I do, whatever happens to me, I have right standing with God. That's why the Bible says that we can come boldly into the throne room in our time of need. We don't have to go through all of this stuff again, you know, and, you know, sprinkle, sprinkle, smoke, smoke, kill an animal, you know, blood everywhere, come on in, you know, and all this kinds of nonsense. We don't have to do that. It's funny, though, how we tend to think that we have to do that. The greatest time for you to put a smile on your face and come running to Daddy is right after you've sinned. You know why? Because you have right standing with God. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for that in my life. I don't know about these people, Jesus, but I know I'm thankful. Come on, folks. Come on. The reality of these things have to be made flesh in us. We got to flesh these things out, don't we? That's the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. When the kingdom of God shows up, healing happens. Thank you, Jesus. Pain leaves people's bodies. Amen. The dead come back to life again. Thank you, Lord. Headaches leave. Sickness is healed. All of that neat stuff happens when the kingdom of God shows. The kingdom of God is here tonight. The kingdom of God is here. You know what? This morning, that's why I said, John, I said, you know what? We need to revalue and again, the place, we value church like never before. Drive a stake in the ground and say, church is where God shows up. Amen. Come on, church. Because 9 out of 10 of you in this room here came to Jesus because somebody brought you to church. Thank you for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. So, what did I say we were doing? We're reading Hebrews 11, right? He says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I wasn't intending to do this tonight, but I think we need to. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what faith is. Oh, well, no, are we going to be one of those faith people? Yes! We have to be, because it pleases God. I think the King James Version Bible, which, you know, I think we need to, you know what I think about that, but anyways... It says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of the thing that you're hoping for. What is hope? Hope is the earnest expectation of something to come. Oh, Jesus! Church, we got to have hope. What are we having hope for? Jesus said, when I come back again, will I find good church attendance on the earth? No. He said, will I find good theologians on the earth? Will I find those who have figured this whole thing out? No, he said, will I find faith in the earth? And he was serious about that. When he comes back, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for you. He's looking for me to be walking in faith. Faith being the substance of the thing that you're hoping for. Are you in faith tonight that God's going to heal you? What is faith? What is that hope? That hope is that you're going to get healed. We're reaching out. We're saying, oh, God. I have faith, I have hope that I'm going to see the greatest displays of God's power that I've ever seen in my life. I have hope for that, church. I'm telling you, I got hope for that. Why? So I can build something? I'm over all that building my own ministry crap, I tell you. You know what I want to see? I just want to see people made well. I want to see Jesus made famous. I am so desperate to see Jesus made famous on the earth. I really want to see people that don't know him lift their voices and lift their hearts to him and say, oh, he's real, he's alive, this invisible God that we've heard about, that religion has talked about. Wow, he's real, he's alive. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I want to see. And my faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. Faith, another word for faith is risk. Risk. Another word for faith is risk. How long have you been a Christian? Well, I've been in the faith 35 years. What are you risking? Bless you. Risk it all. What are you risking? Where's that faith? What is it doing? You know, a lot of times the reason we're so dry, folks, is because we don't have the river flowing. We don't have faith flowing out of us. We're not reaching out. There's no substance of the thing that we're hoping for. What are you hoping for? You can't have faith unless you're hoping for something. And if that faith is the evidence of the thing that you don't see, it's incredible, isn't it? I got faith because I'm hoping for something. It's the evidence of the thing that I can't see. What are you stretching out for? What are you reaching for? I'm hoping. What are you reaching for? Is there a contract in your business or in your place of work that you're hoping that you're going to get? Your faith is stretching out to receive that thing. Faith pleases God. Why? Because those who come to him, we're going to see that in a second, must believe that he exists. I don't know about you. Have you read those books of those super spiritual people? I just sometimes wish I was one of them. Yeah? And they see God all the time. Lord, forgive me if I'm going to step on some toes here, but I can't help it. That's what you pay me for. I don't understand some of these things. You know, I've read some of these books and people have been to heaven and they sat on couches in heaven and I'm like, flipping heck, God. Like, oh, you never do that for me. Like, what's the deal? I pray a lot. You know what I mean? They see couches in heaven and they see things, you know, they see words written over people's heads. This man's name is Arnold. You know, I nothing like that ever happens to me. And sometimes I wonder, because if all of that stuff were to happen to us on a consistent basis, then why would we need faith? You don't need faith if you've already got it right in front of you. You don't, there is no need for the substance of the thing you're hoping for. Your faith doesn't have to be the evidence of that because it's already there. Her name is Maria. And Maria has a problem. Okay, Maria. Yeah, I'm like, well, I don't need faith for that. Maria, God's just written over your forehead. You got a problem. Let's deal with the problem. No, I don't know. That's just me. I don't know. That's just me. Don't get mad. That's just me. But faith is faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Listen, church. I want to tell you again. Have faith. Have faith. Trust God. I want you to trust him tonight for your healing. Because God's going to break out here. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be healings here tonight. God's going to do some stuff here tonight. We need to be in faith. We need to have faith. When I come back, Jesus said, will I find little vessels of faith in the earth? The times in my life where I'm most dry are the times that I'm not walking by faith. Times in my life when I'm questioning God are the times that I'm not hoping for something. I'm not trusting him. I'm not reaching out to him. How many of you know worship is an act of faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because those who come to God must believe. We got to believe. Again, we're getting back to that thing, you know, her name is Maria. You don't have to believe anything if you see that. How many of you have ever seen God? None of us have ever seen him. The Bible says that he's invisible and immortal. The Bible tells us none of us has ever seen God. We have to believe that he exists. It's faith. We have to believe that he exists. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel. Because the gospel doesn't make any sense. But yet every one of us believed it. What, are we crazy? It doesn't make any sense. Have you ever considered that? Okay, you're looking at me strange again. Help me, man. Help me. You got to help me out here tonight. Listen, somebody told you that there was a Jew that lived 2,000 years ago that was born of a virgin. His mother never had sex with his father. Never. He was born of a virgin, 2,000 years in an ancient Eastern society, civilization. He walked around, never did anything wrong his entire life. Never did anything wrong. Gathered people around him, performed miraculous signs, fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a little bit of fish. Then he died. They hung him on a cross. He said he was God in the flesh. All the blood drained out of his body as he hung on a cross. Not one drop of blood left. They took him down, buried him. He came back again from the dead. He said before he died, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to pick it up again. And he picked that life up again after 3 days. The stone was rolled away from the tomb. He comes walking out. He goes to his disciples with no blood in his body, a massive hole in his side so he can literally look in and see his internal organs, the skin just hanging there. He goes to his disciples and he says, look, I'm not a ghost, I'm a real man. Give me something to eat. And he eats. Not only that, but he walks through walls and he takes them out to some clearing in a field and he says, now watch this. And he levitates off the planet and goes right through the clouds and sits right now in planet heaven beside or in the right hand of God. Listen, that has got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I think that if God wanted to prove his existence, he could come up with a better story than that one. But how many of you believed it? And there are some of you here tonight that's stirring in your hearts. You know why? Because of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so powerful. It doesn't make any sense. But God himself, listen, God himself, this is a cool thing about faith. God himself has to give you and had to give you faith to believe it. Faith comes, the Bible says. It comes from hearing through the word of truth. Because that's an unbelievable message. It's stupid. So you know what? That just sets me free. I'm off the hook. All I got to do is just let it out and just share it. Remember this morning, the anointing that's in you flowing out of you to everyone around you. And all we need to do is just let it out. And God does the rest. Yes, Lord, thank you. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. That's how faith works. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I was in Brazil in November and I spent 2 days one night in a home of a man who has a PhD in biology. It's a Jewish man. And he is as anti-God as you can possibly get. I mean, this guy is the poster child for atheism. The poster child. I mean, he's on the milk cartons, this guy. So we're talking, and I'm just telling him, so you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. You know, and he's telling me, you know, the fact is that evolution is a you know, and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, God, not this. All of this evolutionary, all this. Listen, I've seen God grow people's legs. I've seen God straighten people's spines. And him and his wife just sat there like, he didn't believe me, but it doesn't matter if he believes me or not. You know, the interesting thing is, he used to be a Jewish scholar. He was literally a rabbi. And something happened, and it absolutely rocked his faith. You know what happened? He looked out across the landscape of the world, and he said, this world is so rotten, how could there be a God? And as a result of that, he turned his back on those things and pursued atheism, literally pursued it. Folks, let me tell you something. Do you know what? Oftentimes, the issue is usually never the issue. You know, folks, I tell you, God formed the universe. You know, it's amazing. He said to me, he says, you know what? Do you honestly believe that all of this was formed in seven literal days. Do you honestly believe that all of this was formed as God spoke it? Like, I felt a little intimidated, you know? Because, you know, the guy's got degrees, you know. I looked him in the face, I said, yes. Yeah, I do. But I said, you know, here's the deal. I think it takes more faith to believe that everything came out of nothing than it does to believe that everything came out of God. Are you trying to tell me that all of this complexity of existence just happened by accident? Well, the evolutionary... I said, listen now, hold on a second. There's a major leap between the start of things for you guys and where we are today. Major leap, and you guys can't explain that. You're trying to tell me that love, affection, anger, fear, hate just came out of nothing? I said, it takes more faith for you to believe that than it does for me to believe that all this came out of God. Well, you know, we're not talking anymore. Let's put it that way. Lovely man, though. Lovely man. I mean, really, precious guy. Took us into his home. Didn't have to do that. Lovely guy. Wonderful kids. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Do you believe that God formed the heavens and the earth? It takes faith to do that. Amen. So that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, whoa, hold on a sec. He still speaks even though he's dead. Whoa! Church, let me tell you something. What legacy do you want to leave on planet Earth? Do you know that the book of Acts is still an open book? Did you know that? Did you know there's a chapter in that book just for you? I'm writing my chapter. There's a 29th chapter. It's called the Acts of Curtis. How about you? Are you going to write your chapter? Let me speak to the young people here. Because, you know, the older people, some of us, unfortunately, have disqualified ourselves by virtue of the fact that we think we're too old. Maybe that's you. Maybe it isn't. But I want to speak to the young people here. Listen, let me tell you something right now. There is a chapter in the book of Acts for you to write. And you have to write it. There are exploits. There are things that God wants you to do by faith that you're going to do. You're going to do it. But it's going to be done by faith. There are displays of God's power on the earth that the earth has not seen yet. Who's going to do it? The eyes of the Lord go all over the earth looking for somebody for whom he can be strong on their behalf. Oh, Jesus, let your eyes rest on me. Yeah? Let your eyes rest on Curtis. As weak as I am, as many mistakes as I've made, oh God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. What are you having faith for? I'm not trying to be insulting. You know what? There's Calebs in this room. There are some of you, you know, the outer shell might be just a little bit underway, but inside, man, I tell you what, the fire of God burns in you. God's just looking for someone to believe him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. God is looking for faith. What do we do with some of these people that we've seen in history? What do we do with Amy Semple McPherson? What do we do with Mary Woodworth Edder? What do we do with Catherine Coleman? What do we do with some of these women who have done incredible things in the name of Jesus? What do we do with, well, we can't do anything, can we? All we can do is sit around and check it out theologically while they go out and do exploits for Jesus. What do we do with all these great people that are walking the earth today? There are 18-year-old girls that are leading churches of 100,000 people in China. And we have to go through 4 years of cemetery in order to get some piece of paper. It's ridiculous. All we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? I'm very serious about that. Folks, you know what? Do you know our Bible institutions teach us what, how to do what is possible? We need schools, and they're out there. They're out there. We need schools that teach us how to function in New Testament power. Jesus always sent the disciples out to do what was impossible. God never calls you to do what's possible. He always calls us to do what is impossible. He calls us to do what requires faith, trust, that we can't do it in our own power. Are you with me? I'm speaking to myself too. Folks, you know what? A couple of years ago, I was standing in the front row of a meeting. This is how simple it is. I'll tell you how simple it is. Listen now. James, you need to hear this. Both of you need to hear this, because God's not nearly finished with you yet. Standing in the front row, and I closed my eyes during worship, and I saw a vision. I don't see them very often. Well, a vision. It was like a moving picture. I closed my eyes, it was a moving picture. Let's just call it that. Is that okay? I saw a whole bunch of kids on the streets, and they were all dirty. And then when they were walking around, every one of them turned around and looked at me, and I saw my son's face imprinted on all these children. I said, God, what is this? He said, Curtis, I want you to go and get your son off the streets. I said, what? Go get your son off the streets. I said, well, where is he? And I felt the Lord say to me, he's in Brazil. I didn't even know what language they spoke in Brazil. I thought it was a Brazilian. I didn't know what language they spoke in Brazil. But the Lord gave me that vision. He gave me that picture, and he said, go get your son off the streets. I said, okay. Did you hear that? And when I said, okay, it was done. Because that's all he's looking for, somebody who will have faith. When we say yes, it's an act of faith. Are you following me? I said, yes, I'll do it. I don't know anyone in Brazil. I have no contacts in Brazil. I have no money. I have nothing. And week by week by week, I went home, I told my wife, she started crying, I started crying. We both said, okay, we're going to do this. All right, well. What do we do now? I don't know. Let's just tell some people about it then. So we told some people about it. First place I called was one of my best friends here in the UK. And I said, this is what God just showed me. He said, let's do it. Folks, I want to tell you something. I've probably heard this before. There is such a precious heritage on this nation. There are abilities that God has put within this nation. I want to tell you something. You guys have an incredible ability to get things done and get it done right. And that needs to rise up in you again. And you need to say, yes, we got it. And nationally, I won't go into this too much. But you know what? Because of the mistakes of the past, we shut down the good things. And we throw, as we say, the baby out with the bathwater. And I want to say, no, don't do that. Keep the baby. Throw the bathwater out. But listen now, there is tremendous talents, anointings, gifts that God has blessed you with. Rise up. Have faith. No more of this thing that says, well, you know what? It didn't turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out. God does not like that. That's very simple, isn't it? He doesn't like that. He likes faith. We're not going to say no. We're going to say yes. We're not going to say, oh, you know what? Well, this move of the Spirit happened. We were talking about this last night. We're not going to say, oh, this move of the Spirit happened, and now it's over, and it didn't really achieve what we wanted it to achieve, and yada, 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 yada. You know. We're going to say, we're going to stay with you, Jesus. We're going to keep moving with you. We're not going to doubt. We're going to keep believing. What if we don't get it? Okay, maybe we won't. But we're going to die holding on to the promise. We're going to die holding on to the promise that your spirit is going to move. That you are going to touch this nation. That you are going to touch this city. We're going to die holding on to that promise. If we have to listen, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anybody in Brazil. You know what? Week by week by week by week by week, we just walked by faith. God made it happen. It's incredible. Oh, man, I made so many mistakes with that thing. Folks, how many of you know walking by faith means that you're going to fall on your face? How many of you came out of the womb, boom, running? None of us did. Man, I remember my son, my firstborn, when he started learning how to walk, I thought, you're never going to get this. This isn't working for you. He would fall on his face, wham, get up. You know, and you know, kids, their heads are really huge, right? And they just bump it everywhere, you know. Wham, he'd fall down, he'd get up again. And he'd run from chair to chair and then, you know, crack a great big smile as if he's achieved something really, really significant, you know. That's the walk of faith. That's what faith is like. And we make mistakes. But we don't have the option whether or not to try again. And some of us, folks, some of us, we're 40, 50-year-old adults and we're still crawling. Because we tried to walk, and we fell. And we figured it's not going to ever work. So we stopped walking. And you're retarded now in your growth as a result of not exercising your faith. It's faith that he's looking for. He's not looking for us to understand it all. We never understand it all. I don't understand why my wife miscarried. I don't understand that. But I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. I won't stay there. You don't understand why you trusted and believed God for those things and it didn't happen, but you're not going to stay there. You're going to keep walking. You're going to keep trusting him. Amen.